Anyhow, we're looking forward to this time together that will still be special. Amen. Amen. So this morning we want to continue our celebration and our focus on Christmas. It's the third Sunday of Advent. And, you know, as we think about Christmas, we have many, many different ways of expressing what Christmas means, and we just saw that short, cute video clip. If the video clips are not your cup of tea, I apologize. They are other people's cups of tea, and it's a humorous way of reminding us of what is important at Christmas time. And so we have different ways to express what Christmas is or what Christmas means. And as I was praying this week, I felt like the Lord directed my thoughts to thinking of Christmas in this way this morning as we consider it. And what I want us to think about this morning and look for a short time is Christmas is God speaking. Christmas is God speaking, very, very simply. And we're going to talk about that this morning. When you look at the Bible as a whole, we start in Genesis, and we know that God was speaking in the very beginning. God made man in his image. When we get to the Gospel of John, we, as Steve read this morning, in the beginning was the Word, capitalized, right? Who is the Word? Jesus, right? Jesus is the Word. He was speaking. He was part of it. And so God has been communicating throughout this time. But if we look at the Bible as a whole, when we go to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and then we skip over to Matthew, which is the first New Testament book, not the first one written. They think maybe Galatians was one of the first ones written, or maybe some other ones, but arrangement, Matthew is the first New Testament gospel. But between Malachi and Matthew, there are 400 years. And I don't know if you knew that or not. So about 400 years. And in that time, God seemingly was silent. There was no inspired word that was written, that was given to prophets to write down. Malachi was dead and gone. Israel still continued. But God, the Holy Spirit, did not inspire anyone to write anything. And Bible scholars call those years the 400 years of silence, or the 400 silent years. You can look it up and you can do a little more studying. And then suddenly and unexpectedly, after 400 years, God begins to speak again. Not veiled, not symbolically, not cryptically, but very, very clearly and very directly. Much of the way that God spoke in the Old Testament was through symbols and was through signs and veiled. For example, if we look at Daniel and his dreams and what God spoke to him, about prophecy and about the end days and the end times, very, very difficult for people to understand and people are still trying to figure that out. But after these 400 years of silence, suddenly God starts speaking again to his people. What is the first recorded one? The first recorded one is when Gabriel appears to Zechariah, the priest, with a message from God. He and his elderly wife Elizabeth, who is barren, and they're both elderly, they will miraculously become parents of a child to be named John, and this messenger John will prepare the way for the Messiah. So God begins to speak. And we're going to see as we look at this, as we go through this brief list, that when after 400 years of silence, God begins speaking again, he starts to speak about the arrival of his son. He's speaking about what we would call Christmas. Of course, they didn't call it that at that time. But he begins speaking again, and everything that he says and every finger that is pointed, it's pointed towards the promised one who is coming. And God begins to speak, not hidden, not veiled, not in sign, but in reality and very, very clearly. And so Gabriel appears to Zechariah. A few months later, about 6 months later, Gabriel appears to Mary in the town of Nazareth with the most wonderful message of all. You will give birth to a son. You'll call his name Jesus. He will be the Son of the Most High. His kingdom will last forever. So, so clear. And then shortly after that, when Joseph, her betrothed, has already found out that the woman he was supposed to marry is pregnant and he's going to put her away and divorce her, but quietly, then an angel appears to him as well and says to Joseph, the child that Mary's carrying is from God. He will be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Then on the night that Jesus is born, on the night that he arrives in the flesh, in creation, in the world that he helped to create, and he has now become part of, what happens? The angel appears in the night sky to the shepherd, and then the heavenly host. Actually, that word host, we always say a choir of angels, but in fact, it's actually, the meaning of it is an army of angels. And the understanding is millions of angels. This is, if you will, all of heaven turning out for this arrival. And they say, I bring you good news of great joy. There's peace. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for everyone. And so God is speaking. It's this message from him. And then to the wise men, as we talked about last week, he speaks to us in a language that would be very hard to understand. I look at the night sky and I think, well, that's beautiful. But I don't understand much about the night sky. Kenneth does, and Letty does. They know all about these things. They can tell me all sorts of things. But to me, it's mystery. To me, it's Greek. But not to those wise men who saw the star rise. We've come from the east. We've seen his star. Where is he who's king of the Jews? We've come to worship him. And as we said last week, God spoke exactly the language that they understood. And God speaks the language of our heart. And so we see this suddenly as Jesus comes, before he comes to prepare. And then he comes. And then after, 8 days after, when they take Jesus to the temple to be dedicated and to be circumcised, then Simeon, an elderly man, comes up. And what does he do? He prophesies also, and he says, oh, Lord, now you can let your servant depart in peace because my eyes have seen your salvation. The salvation tied up in a little baby, 8 days old. But Simeon says, I have seen your salvation. Now, those are eyes of faith, to see in baby form, in seed form, the full, great, wonderful plan of God. He says, I'm ready to go now because I've seen your salvation. Just at that moment, Anna, elderly, a prophetess, as the Bible says, she comes up also, and she begins praising the Lord, and she begins telling everyone about this is the one that was sent. This is the promised Messiah. And so we see as Jesus comes, after 400 years of silence, a burst of communication, and God again begins to speak to mankind. And so, to me, as I think of Christmas, I think of Christmas as God speaking. God speaking. And so I'm going to ask you right here, right at the beginning, what is God speaking to you this Christmas? If you are thinking, oh, Christmas carols, Christmas trees, Santa, and things like that, may I say to you, that's not God. Because when God speaks to us, it's all wrapped up in Jesus. It's all wrapped up in Jesus. I was listening to a message earlier this week, and I thought, oh, Lord, I want to use that. I loved the expression so well, but I don't know where I would use it in a sermon. So I just want to share it with you. It was so beautiful. And as the pastor was speaking, he said, I'll try to get it right. He said, Jesus is not part of the Christmas story. Christmas is part of the Jesus story. Isn't that great? So Jesus is not part of the Christmas story. Christmas is part of the Jesus story. And that's so very true, isn't it? That's so very true. And so we see God speaking, and that's what Christmas is about. So as we look at these Christmas passages that we know very well, that I just mentioned to us, God was speaking. But I want us to look at another passage this morning, and we're going to start and we're going to end there this morning, and it comes from the book of Hebrews. And I'll bet you seldom think of Hebrews as having any Christmas passages, right? But look with me this morning at the very first verse of Hebrews and the second verse of Hebrews. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And when we think about that, we know that, don't we? All the different ways that God spoke. When the writer of Hebrews says, spoke many times and in many ways, that means in all sorts of different ways. Some of it was by verbal inspiration. Some of it was through symbols. Verbal inspiration, we know, don't we? How many of you know some of the passages from Isaiah that talk about the coming of the Messiah? We know that, and we know other ones as well. But think with me for just a minute about other ways that God spoke in the Old Testament. Can you think of some ways? I know you can. If you go all the way back to Genesis, did you know that part of Christmas, Jesus is in Genesis? When God says that when they have sinned and God says, he will bruise your head, the one that's coming, he will bruise your head. He was speaking of Jesus all the way back in Genesis. And then we go to Exodus. Where is Jesus in Exodus? He's the Passover lamb, isn't he? This beautiful symbol and other symbols as well. And we go all the way through. We go to Psalms. The Lord is my good shepherd. And when we come to the end of this message this morning, we're going to have a special video that talks about Jesus throughout the Bible that reflects this verse 1. Long ago, God spoke in many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. So then we look at verse 2, and then what does the writer to Hebrews say? And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. This is Christmas, isn't it? This is the Christmas message. He has spoken to us through his Son. And in verse 2, when the writer to Hebrews says this, what this means is his final word. Now, does that mean God doesn't speak anymore? Of course God still speaks. You pray and you talk to him and you ask him, and he speaks to your heart, doesn't he? He gives you direction. But the understanding of God and the final word and the definitive word came when Jesus entered the world as a baby, his majesty and his glory veiled in our human weak flesh. And God, the Creator, condescended to our level to become us, to speak our language. And in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. There's no further revelation. There's no another one to come. There's no great. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. And so as we talk this morning about Christmas is God speaking, it is God speaking through Jesus. So let's look at this together. Because Christmas is God speaking. Jesus is his medium. Jesus is his message. His final and best and clearest expression and message is Jesus. As a pastor, I all along talk with people who are trying to figure out God. I talk, whether they are Christians or not, sometimes I talk with Christians who are trying to figure out God. What is God like? Why did God do this? And I, because when as soon as people find out, oh, you're a pastor, very often, if they're not upset at me because I'm a pastor, because that happens sometimes, they really, I've had literally people turn around and walk away. Oh, and walk away, and that's okay. That's okay. But I've had people very, very often, when they find out I'm a pastor, they'll say, well, let me ask you a question. And probably you have experienced that as well, when people have found out that you are really a Christian. And they may look at you and they say, you really believe that stuff? Have you ever had somebody say that to you? Sure you have. I have too. It's like, huh? Sort of a head scratcher. And as I've talked with people, as they're trying to figure out God, and I mean, I should categorize, there are all sorts of questions, and there are all sorts of people trying to figure out. I don't mean people that want to argue, and that want to, although God loves them also, but I mean people who really sincerely have questions. Well, what about this, or what about that? And God always, always will speak to people like that. They're trying to understand God. Christians and those who don't have a relationship with God. And I talk with people all the time, and you have as well, and maybe you have gone through this yourself. When things go wrong in people's lives, we are sometimes so quick to accuse God, right? Something bad happens, and what do people say? Why did God let this happen? Yeah? Of course, of course. But then if something good happens, what do people say? I'm so lucky, right? Or I'm so clever, or look what I worked out, or I deserve it, or things like that. Such a contradiction for us, such a contradiction. And so many of us, we come to a pressure point. All of us have pressure points in our with God somewhere in our lives. And before we shake our head at people like that, we consider for a minute ourselves, because often we struggle with those things as well. God, why did you allow this to happen? God, you could so easily have done something else. Or sometimes we fail in a particular way, and we condemn ourselves, and we are ashamed of ourselves, and we treat ourselves in the way that we think we should be treated. In other words, like, God must be really tired of me now. And we isolate ourselves, and we impute to God the way that we are. And then on the other extreme, I sometimes talk with Christians who very lightly ignore or allow habitual sin in their lives. Oh, God, God's grace, God's grace, God's grace. And what I would say is, when we come to this, the answer to all of our misconceptions, because all of these things are misconceptions about God, is that we look to God's last word. And I'm sorry if this sounds simple to us this morning, but I really mean this. We look to God's last word, and God's last word is Jesus. God's last word is Jesus. You know, a lot of us, I don't have one, but I'll bet some of you wore those bracelets that said WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? Maybe that was bigger in the U.S. than it was in Hong Kong. But for a while, everybody had a WWJD bracelet. What would Jesus do? And it would make them think. But I would turn that around this morning. And what I would say, when we come to these pressure points in our lives, and Holy Spirit really impressed this on my heart yesterday. When we come to these things in our lives and we're struggling and we're trying to understand, and we are either treating things too lightly, or we are condemning ourselves or allowing the enemy to condemn us, I want to say to you this morning, go to God's final word. And God's final word is Jesus. Yes, you should pray. Yes, you can talk to others. But may I just give you a simple road this morning? When you are struggling in these areas, literally, I want to say to you, go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John first. I really mean that. Go there. How did Jesus handle it? What did Jesus do? And think with me for just a minute. How did Jesus deal with a man who was his best friend and who swore he would never betray him, even though everybody else would? And Peter blew it so very badly, didn't he? So very publicly. Had I been Peter, I would have wanted to throw myself off a cliff. I'm so unworthy. I'm so whatever. I could never, this relationship can never be restored. And what did Jesus do? Jesus made it easy for him to be restored. Jesus went to him. But sometimes when we really blow it, we don't go to Jesus, do we? We think, I'm not. Jesus went to him. What did Jesus do with those who habitually sinned? He dealt with them in love and in grace, but he dealt with their sin too. What did Jesus do with Mary and Martha when their beloved brother Zacchaeus was dead and in the grave? Jesus wept with them, even though he knew that in 1 minute or 2 minutes, Lazarus was going to be alive again. That stretches my theology, if you want to say it that way. It really does, because we think, yeah, but he was God, you know. So, you know, of course he wasn't really sorrowful. He knew, hey, don't worry about it. Lazarus is going to be alive again. And yet Jesus, because of his humanity, Jesus, because he descended and took on flesh, he was and is like you and like me. And as a man, he wept tears of sorrow for Lazarus and for Mary and Martha as well. And so when we have these pressure points in our lives, I just want to urge you and say to you, go back to God's final word. And his final word is Jesus. His final word is Jesus. Jesus was not a messenger from God. He was God with a message. God with a message, not, oh, I come bring you a message from... No, he was God with a message. Remember one of his promised, one of his names of promise. What was the name of promise that we sang about this morning? Emmanuel, God with us, God with us. That's what he was. But the only way that he could be God with us was to become like us. And that's why it is inspired in Hebrews. In these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Christmas is God speaking. Christmas is God speaking, unveiled, unmitigated by any shading, unchanged by any, you've got to get through the communication. There's got to be some sort of translation. No need for translation, because he was God in the flesh, and he lived among us, and lived among us. And that reminds me, I go all the way back, I got carried away. Let me read verse 3. Look with me at verse 3. I meant to put that up earlier. Hebrews 1:3. So in these last days, he's spoken to us through his Son. And then we read in the very following verse, the Son radiates God's own glory and is the exact expression of the very character of God, or the nature of God. Let me ask you something. This, he radiates. He's God's own glory. On a cold day, when you step outside and maybe it's cloudy and it's overcast, and suddenly the sun breaks through the clouds and its rays warm your face, and you lift your face to the warmth of that sun and the brightness on a cloudy day. Is there anything in you that differentiates? Well, the sun is there, however many million, Letty and Kenneth, you could tell us right now, however many millions of years, light years away, there's the sun, but here are the sun's rays, and the two are different. Do you make any distinction? Do we make any distinction? We don't. We just say, it's the sun, right? It's the sun. And that is an imperfect example of Jesus the Son radiating God the Father's glory. There's no separation. There's no difference. He is the exact expression of the very character of God. And I think that's important for us, because be honest this morning. How many of us would say, well, yeah, Jesus is kind and loving and grace and gracious, but now if it's God, then he's a lot more serious. We think that sometimes, don't we? We do. How many of us, honestly, how many of us in our homes or growing up, you know, maybe mom was there, and mom was the initial, this is an imperfect example, but anyhow, mom was the initial disciplinarian, but the second level serious disciplinarian was dad, right? And mom deals with you until finally you've pushed her last button, and mom says, what does she say? You wait till your father gets home, right? I'm sure Panina would never say that. I don't know. Maybe she would. I don't know. But that is, and that's an imperfect example. But honestly, brothers and sisters, that's how we think about God the Son and God the Father sometimes, right? Jesus is this way, but God. And what God is saying to us is, I have spoken to you through my Son. He is the final word. And he is the exact expression of who I am. I was thinking about this as I was preparing yesterday. On Friday night, as I was coming home from church, I had to stop by Taste and Festival Walk, and I had to pick up some last-minute groceries. So I was walking around. I was pushing my trolley, and I was walking. I used a good British word there. We Americans would say buggy, sorry, or our grocery cart, but anyhow. I was pushing it around, and there was a foreign guy in front of me as I was walking, and he was trying to find peanut butter, a necessary item, especially when it's crunchy. He's trying to find peanut butter, but what he was doing was he was asking the clerk who was stocking the shelves, where is peanut butter? And bless his heart, the guy was looking at him. Oh, yeah. I mean, there was no communication between the two. And he said, you know, peanut butter, peanut butter. And he whipped out his phone, and he was trying to whatever. And so I, since I speak some Mandarin, I said in Mandarin, because I knew he was a Cantonese speaker, but I thought he'll understand Mandarin, right? Because the two are quite similar. And so I said to the guy, Huashengjiang, and the foreign guy said, yeah. And the guy looked at me, cocked his head. The clerk looked at me, cocked his head, and I said it again, clearly. And he looked at me, and the foreign guy looked at me. He said, I better show him on my phone. So he so he showed him on his phone, and the clerk said, oh, Huashengjiang, and he walked off. And I looked at the guy, and he looked at me, and I said, I thought that's what I said. And he just laughed and walked off. And obviously, that wasn't what I said, was it? What I said was not an exact expression. Now, that's, again, an imperfect example, but that helps us to understand there was something lost in translation. It wasn't quite right. And so the clerk didn't get it, and the clerk didn't understand it. But then when he saw exactly what it was, oh, Huashengjiang, peanut butter, and off he went. As I said, imperfect example, but that helps us to understand here. Jesus is the perfect example. Jesus is the exact expression of God. No difference. No difference at all. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. Sin has twisted and damaged our understanding of God. It has. Sin has damaged that. And Jesus is at work. Jesus came to earth to help us to see. I am God. This is what God is like. This is what God is like. Exactly like this. Exactly like this. At the start of the service, we heard that wonderful passage from 1 John. It's not from 1 John, but from the Gospel of John. And I was talking with some friends the other day, and we were sharing, what's your favorite Christmas verse? What's your favorite Christmas verse? And if I were to ask you this morning, I don't know what you would say. What is your favorite Christmas verse? A lot of people use a passage from Isaiah or something like that. You know what my very favorite Christmas verse is? And I really mean it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's my very, very favorite Christmas verse. It really is, because it is God with us. When we go back to John, I just remind you, as Steve read, in the beginning was the Word. Word's capitalized, right? And so we know that this is Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And here again, we see this exact expression, right? It's an exact expression. God wants mankind to know from the very beginning that he is a speaking God, that he is a communicating God. A word is an expression that carries meaning. Of course, we have unspoken expressions, right, with body language and with facial expressions. But traditionally, the means of communication has been through language, through words. And that's why John was inspired to write, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus was the pure and perfect expression of God into a world in the beginning that was dark, that was chaotic, that was without form and void, that had no light, that had no life. And God expressed himself through the Word. In the beginning was the Word. We're not reading it this morning, but verse 3 says, in him, verse 4 says, in him was life. This life was the light of men. Verse 3 says, he was in the world. He created the world. Nothing was made without him. Nothing was made that has been made. And here we have this picture and this image of the God who communicates and the God who speaks. And how does he speak in the very beginning? Jesus is part of it. And he comes into a chaotic, dark, lifeless situation. And he brings order out of chaos. And he shines light into darkness. And he brings life where there is no life. And he creates man in his image for relationship. He makes man like himself so that he can speak and so that man can understand. And then sin entered the garden. And what did God do? Then I must find a way to speak to people so that they will know who I am. Because the enemy came in and twisted and said, God is like this, and God is hard, and God is demanding, and God expects this, and God expects that. And I want people to know, I am not this way. I am a holy God, but I'm a God of grace and a God of love. But how can I express that to people? That is in Jesus. God speaking. It's Jesus. It's the final word. And then John 1:14, the verse that I just quoted. So the word became human flesh. That's so that he can communicate with us clearly. And he made his home among us. This is the New Living Translation, HSBC, the Holman Christian, sorry, I said it the wrong way, HCSB. Steve said this morning, he said, I've got to be careful not to say HSCB. See, I'm all mixed up now. HCSB, Holman Christian Standard, says, I should have put a big X. Don't say that, Jennifer, right there, but I said it, didn't I? And we were in the middle of it, too. That's the Holman Christian Standard translation. We'll get back to it. I love how that's expressed. He took up residence among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, full of grace and truth. Oh, that's so wonderful. Full of grace and truth. You know, when you live with someone for a while, you really get to know the real person, don't you? You get to know the real person. You find out, did they drink a cup of milk and leave their cup in the sink? Joshua and David, you don't do that, do you? You don't make mom wash it, do you? Wait, never mind. We're in church. Let's speak truth. Tell truth and shame the devil, as we say. You find out, wow, they're kind of grumpy when they get up in the morning before they've had their first cup of coffee. Or you find out, seriously, it's time to go, and you took a shower that was 30 minutes long, and you used up all the hot water, depending on the type of your water heater. We find out things about people when we live with them, don't we? What did we find out about Jesus when he lived with us? No bad surprises. Nothing unexpected that was not a good thing. Jesus fully revealed himself and fully reflected God as he lived among us. And that's why John said, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, full of grace and truth. If you read this passage a little bit further, do you know what else you will see? You will see that it says, and from his, we have received, from his abundance, and from his fullness, we have received. In fact, I've got the verse there. Let me just, instead of trying to say it right, let me just go ahead and say it. Read it from John 1:16-18. From his fullness, we have all received grace after grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, the one who's at the Father's side, he has revealed God to us. External packaging, nothing special. That's because our external packaging is nothing special either, is it? But he came in the flesh so that he could communicate with us in a language that we could understand. Not in his language. He remained who he was, but he became who we are to speak our language and that we might understand. And so I encourage you this morning, as we go further into the Christmas season, that you come again to God and say, what are you saying to me this Christmas? Jesus, what are you communicating with me? Please don't let your days be filled with busyness and work as you're finishing up the year. Please don't let your days be filled with Santa and Christmas trees, although we love Christmas trees and stars and gifts and things like that. But we come again to the one, because Christmas is God speaking, and we come again to Jesus. Remember how we started out this morning. God spoke to our ancestors, Hebrews 1. God spoke to our ancestors in many ways, in many ways, in these last days. He's spoken to us through his Son. So I'm going to invite you to join me. As I said, we're going to end earlier this morning, but I'm going to invite you to join me right now. We're going to look at together a video that expresses Jesus to us, how God has spoken throughout the Bible and up to the present in Jesus. Some of you may have heard this before or read this before or seen this before, but I believe for most of us, this will be something that will touch our hearts as we see God has never been silent. And God's final word to us is Jesus. Come again to Jesus this Christmas.
In Genesis, Jesus Christ is the breath of life.
In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb.
In Leviticus, he's my high priest.
In Numbers, he's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And in Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses.
In Joshua, he's the captain of my salvation.
In Judges, he's my judge and lawgiver.
In Ruth, he is my kinsman redeemer.
In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's my trusted prophet. And in Kings and Chronicles, he's the reigning king.
In Ezra and in Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of broken down walls of my life.
In Esther, he is my Mordecai.
In Job, he's my ever-living redeemer.
In Psalm, he's my shepherd. In Proverbs and in Ecclesiastes, he's my wisdom.
In Song of Solomon, he's my loving bridegroom.
In Isaiah, he's the prince of peace.
In Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch.
In Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet.
In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man.
In Daniel, he's the fourth man in life's fiery furnace.
In Hosea, he's the loving husband forever married to the backslider.
In Joel, he's the baptizer of the Holy Ghost in fire.
In Amos, he's my burden bearer.
In Obadiah, he is mighty to save.
In Jonah, he's my great foreign missionary. And in Micah, he's the messenger of the beautiful feet.
In Nahum, he's my strength and shield. In Habakkuk, he's God's evangelist cry. Revive thy works in the midst of the years.
In Zephaniah, he's my savior. And in Haggai, he's the restorer of God's lost heritage.
In Zechariah, he's the fountain opened up in the house of David. And in Malachi, he's the stone of righteousness, rising with healing in his wings.
In Matthew, Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews.
In Mark, he's the servant.
In Luke, he's the Son of Man, feeling what I feel.
In John, he's the Son of God.
In Acts, he's the Savior of the world.
In Romans, he's the righteousness of God.
In 1 Corinthians, he's the rock, the father of Israel. In 2 Corinthians, he's the triumphal one given victory.
In Galatians, he's my liberty. He set me free. In Ephesians, he's the head of the church. In Philippians, he's my joy. And in Colossians, he's my completeness.
In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is my hope. And in 1 Timothy, he is my faith. In 2 Timothy, he is my stability. And in Titus, he is my truth.
In Philemon, he's my benefactor.
In Hebrews, he's my perfection.
In James, he's the power behind my faith.
In 1 Peter, he's my example.
In 2 Peter, he's my purity.
In 1 John, he's my life.
In 2 John, he's my pattern.
In 3 John, he is my faith. In Jude, he is the foundation of my faith. And in Revelation,
he is my coming king.
He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the keeper of creation and the creator of all. He's the architect of the universe and the manager of all times. He always was, he always is, he always will be. Unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone.
He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and paid. He was persecuted and brought healing. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace.
The world can't understand him. The armies can't defeat him. The schools can't explain him. And the leaders can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. And the Pharisees couldn't confuse him. The people couldn't hold him. And Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. And religion can't contain him. He is alive. Love, longevity, and life. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and grace. He is holy, righteous, and mighty. He's powerful and pure.
His ways are right, and his war is eternal.
His will is unchanging, and his mind is on me.
He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He is my God.
He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my comfort.
He is my Lord, and he rules my life.
Amen. Amen. Lord, this morning we again open our hearts and we open our ears to your voice speaking to us. And you speak to us, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We are so glad that you are not silent in our lives. And God, we make a space, we make a place to hear you again speaking to us. Especially through this season, as we hear Jesus again in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.